Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your host, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host, Brian. He is the number one Disney dude.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper, here to guide you through this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. And this week, we have a very special guest. Please welcome, if you will, dudes, a fellow MVP, John Cook.
Dudes, what's going on? Glad to be here.
What's up, John?
Hey, John.
How's it going, guys?
John, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so John Cook. I'm from the Poconos, Pennsylvania. Have a wife and three kids. My wife is actually what started my Disney addiction. She got me into it as a Disney adult. I had never gone before. And now we make at least once a year trips. I've been an MVP now for 3 years, probably to the day or real close to it. Actually, kind of a fun fact, I became an MVP because of the show. So I'm glad to be here. I've been a big fan for a while, and I appreciate what you guys do for many reasons, obviously, not just the entertainment.
Yeah, I didn't want to steal your thunder, John, but I had asked Carl before the show, hey, let me say a few words about John, because I wanted to make sure that was in there. So we used to carry a little bit bigger of a presence on Instagram. And we still have a decent presence on Instagram, but we don't monitor as much as we do Twitter or X or whatever you call it, and Facebook these days. But I'll never forget, we got a message on Instagram, and it's this guy. He's like, hey, he's like, I listen to the show. I'm a big fan, big follower. I was like, great, nice to talk to you. And he's like, I'm curious, what would it take to become, you know, a planner? And I was like, well, you know, you got to have some experience, and you got to have, you should probably plan a trip with a planner before you do it, and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, dude turned out to be totally awesome. And I was like, you know what? Here's a link. Go fill it out. I'll throw your name out there to the owners for you. And voila, we've got John Cook. So for those who have listened for a while, you might know that I'm a mentor at Magic Vacations. And John was one of my mentees as well as a result of all that. And I can tell you, hands down, he is right away. He jumped right in, dove right in. And this man knows his stuff, and he's a valued member of the team. Not only from a business standpoint do we love John, but John is also one of the best rock star dudes that we have in the agency. So, John, I'm excited to finally have you on the show. It's been a long time coming, buddy. And, I'm excited for the topic that you got for us today, and we'll rock and roll with it.
Definitely. I appreciate being here. That's for sure. Thank you, guys.
And John, we are delighted that you're here, despite being under Ryan's tutelage, that you still are a success. So
I didn't scare him away. I didn't scare him away.
That's
a little deeper, actually.
Yeah, and so we throw you right into the spotlight. John had a wonderful idea that he proposed to us, so I'll let him tell you a little bit about the concept for tonight's episode of Dudes Dish Disney.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So, if anybody here listening has planned with the Disney Dudes or with a planner, or even if you just plan your own trips, obviously, if you're listening to a Disney podcast, probably pretty big Disney fan, right? So one thing that I've noticed through my own trips and through planning customer trips is very often we all have these big expectations. We want to hit X amount of rides. We want to drink around the world. We want to eat at these certain restaurants, whatever it might be. And those always turn out great. But I find that when I come home, some of the biggest memories are the things that I absolutely had zero expectations for, maybe didn't even know existed yet. Or it just could be something silly, you know? So, that's kind of what this one was about, was unexpected memories that you made while in Disney World, Disneyland, Disney cruise ship, whatever it might be. I find, like I said, that those become some of the best ones and the ones I look back on a lot.
It's a great topic to touch on. You know, we do take the dynamic of analytically going and planning all the events. And part of that is brought on by Disney, right? They're constantly tweaking the systems, tweaking their ways that you gain reservations, gain access to the parks, schedule rides and everything. There's always a formula that they're tweaking to improve themselves. So we have to be on our game to figure that out and help do that. And we take it to the nth scale, right? We take it to we have, you know, cheat sheets and pointers that we give our clients once they become a client to help them be more productive. And, you know, it used to be a joke that you got two types of planning. You've got the commando planning, you know, where you're up at morning and you're ready and you're going all day and you've got those spreadsheets ready to roll. And then you've got the, you know, freelance approach where you just gotta kind of go in and have a good time. And the reality is, as Disney tweaks things and makes things different and changes things, that, you know, if you go to Disney, you know, once a year or once every 2 or 3 years, as most families do, chances are what you learn the first time is going to be different. And so that's why we kind of go after those details. But nevertheless, even with all that planning, those memories or those magical moments that you point out are not a result of what we do months in advance of someone's trips. It's just living in that moment, right? And
I think
yeah,
it's
I feel
important.
like.
I think it's important to point out really quick that Carl's definition of commando there is not the Joey Tribbiani commando. Okay, for our friends fans out there, let's make sure if you need to rewind and listen to how he described it. Okay, you didn't have shock and awe, and now all of a sudden you're like, "What the hell are these guys talking about?" Okay, so
Good call.
go ahead, John.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, I think it's proven through our customers and all that what we do provides an amazing value. We make sure that you hit the key things. But I know myself, and I'm sure you guys as well, I just make sure I stress there's so much beyond just those key things. And that's why I wanted to just talk about this, and you know, I thought it was a good topic for a podcast.
It's
Absolutely. Kick
magic.
us off.
Yeah.
Kick us off. Share one of those instances with us.
Right. So the one that I instantly go back to, my wife and I, we honeymooned at Disney World, and it was late September, early October, still very hot. That particular year, it was very hot, and it was 2020, so COVID. We were wearing masks and everything. And I remember being in Animal Kingdom, and we were just burnt out. It was probably day 3 or 4, and just dealing with the heat. We wanted a place to sit down. We needed to get off our feet, and we for whatever reason, we found ourselves kind of in a back corner, in Africa there, and we found the Wildlife Express train, and neither of us actually even knew where it was at the time. We happened to just get on it because we wanted to get off our feet, and that's what's kind of always amazing about Disney, right? There's so much there that we still didn't know something about it, and we find ourselves there at Rafiki's Planet Watch, his little, for lack of better terms, island, Animal Kingdom, where they do some recovery stuff for some of their animals and some cool demonstrations. But the other thing they did was a little art class there. And next thing you know, we're sitting there drawing Crush from Finding Nemo, and you know, having just a nice moment, me and Courtney, and there was only a couple other people because it was COVID and there wasn't a lot of people there that time. And you know, we had just a fun little way to get off our feet, get in the air conditioning, and you know, we have these pictures on our wall now that we look back on often, and we really enjoy that time frame there.
I love it. I love it. I mean, so many of these moments, right? Like we talk about the unexpected moments. I agree with John when he says, you know, you got to not look at your phone, right? And it's so hard because when you're at Disney, they put everything on the app and they make you feel like you got to do it at all times and you're spending so much money, right? And sometimes I have a hard time thinking of back, right? Because now that I'm an MVP and I go often, actually, these days, most of my trips are completely unplanned, which might sound hilarious to our listeners. So, like, these guys are all planners, but like, literally, unless I'm with Carl, who plans every day to a T still, I literally go and I just show up and then whatever happens, happens, right? So, I'm lucky that I can do that. right? First of all, I'm lucky that I can do that, but it really has stressed this to me to tell people like, hey, you know, take a day, take time, notice your day, what's going on. You know, little things can happen when you just stand around. So one of my favorite moments is I actually took one of the guys from my day job on my sales team. I'm not going to call him out, even though I don't know he, I know he doesn't listen to the show, but I took him to Disneyland because we were going to Southern California for a work trip. And I said, hey, listen, I know you've never been. He's never been to Disney before at all. He's a huge Marvel fan. I was like, but let's just go hang out in Avengers Campus for a while, right? Let's just see what happens. So we were hanging out in Avengers Campus and we're walking through and the characters weren't out yet. And we're about to leave. And actually I turn around and Ant-Man's standing there. I'm like, hey, you know, why don't you go grab a picture with Ant-Man? He's like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Well, while he's taking a picture with Ant-Man, you should know his favorite character is Spider-Man. I mean, like totally gaga over Spider-Man. And while he's taking this picture with Ant-Man, Spider-Man sees that we're standing there taking pictures and he kind of gives me the shh, you know, look behind him. And in true Spidey fashion, kind of like creeps up in Spider-Man fashion behind him and then just jumps into the picture. So I have this whole range of pictures where this dude's taking photos with Ant-Man with no knowledge that Spider-Man is also in the picture. And then the guy who's playing Ant-Man, who never broke eye contact with me the entire time, looks at me and goes, Spider-Man's right behind me, isn't he? And I just laughed. And the look on the guy's face that I was with, like his eyes must have gotten 14 times bigger than what they were because he realized all he had to do was turn around and meet his childhood hero, you know? And sure enough, he did. And this dude's like 6 foot 6, you know, like he's not a small guy. And he looked like a 4-year-old after that, you know? He just, and that's the moment, right? Like those are the unexpected moments. Like that was just like, if we had been go, 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 and tried to get to every ride, we would have missed out on that entirely. So that is one of my more recent, really favorite moments.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that.
I had a moment, I mean, you know, because John, you have young kids. You guys all have young kids. So first trip when I took my daughters, all very young. One was just, my youngest was not even 2 because she got into the park for free, right? And it was a trying to get everything done and organizing it, going to the park, coming back for a nap in the pool, you know, the traditional stuff and organizing the day. And it was the first day there in the Magic Kingdom. She was, like I said, 2 years old on my shoulders, and we were watching the fireworks over the castle. And I can't remember what year this was or what show it was, but in the recording, you hear Peter Pan's voice saying, "Come on, everyone, here we go." And I said to my daughter, I said, "Look, honey, it's Peter Pan." And as he says that, there's 4 fireworks that are rockets that crisscross behind the tower as he's saying that. And I said, "Look, it's Peter Pan." And she said, "And Wendy and John and Michael too." She had the imagination to think that all 4 of them were flying up. And in that moment with her on my shoulders after you know, crazy day of hectic day, it was just so heartwarming that she was in the moment and it was all so real to her, right? And I felt like John Darling at the end of Peter Pan looking out the window at the clouds that looked like a pirate ship, you know, just kind of in awe of her seeing it that way, right? So that one comes to mind. You never know when you have little kids what they're going to say or do that does that, you know, that brings that magic home.
It's amazing, Carl, because those moments are, especially for us, right? Like we're Disney nuts, right? So especially for us, it's the littlest thing, but it's so much so enriched in who we are that it's an emotional moment, right? It really is. And I've had a couple of those moments with my kids. I've talked about a few of those stories, so I won't repeat them. But you're right. It's just, all it took was 1, 4, or 5 words, right? And it's like, oh my God, I'm gonna cry like a little baby, you know, because this is just like, this is this important, amazing part of me that I've had my whole life. And this is the moment where I know I've officially, truly shared it with my child, right? And I've passed on that legacy.
And I also, I think for our clients and for all these families that, you know, Disney is an expensive trip, right? And it's a sacrifice that the work they put into the planning and organize. There's always one of our clients who's sort of the lead planner that we work with, right? And their heart and soul is into the trip, and they're doing all the hard work, and they've saved every nickel to make sure it's a memorable trip for them to have that experience and feel like, ah, it's all worth it. You know, all of everything I did today, all the waiting in lines, you know, all the headaches, the crowds and everything, it's worth it, right? To have those moments.
Yeah. Even if you only go once, right? Like in your life. And it's like, you know, a lot of us, I'm sure you guys deal with this too. A lot of my clients are either repeat clients and they go all the time, or they're like, I went once as a kid and I wanted to pass this down to my kid and let them go once as a kid. Right. And that's where that magic is created. It's not the nuts like us. Yes, we have our magical moments, right? But it's that one lifetime memory that you create. I have a client who booked with me 4 years ago, and she had enough of those moments that she has not been back since, but she talks about it every week, right? On her Facebook. She comments on my stuff. She comments on other people's stuff. And that's amazing to me. That's why I do what I do, right? That's why we do what we do, I should say, you know, is for those moments. So, John, you've got, I'm sorry, John Mackey. Oh my God. Now we have too many Johns on it. Tech dude, what do you got for us?
Yeah. So Ryan, kind of touching on what you mentioned earlier about those moments, as almost everybody knows, I've got the little guy, now almost three, crazy to think, but, a couple months back, we took, him on his first trip, and just seeing Disney through the eyes of a very young child definitely changes your perspective on the whole approach to Disney, the whole feeling of Disney, everything. It, again, being a Disney nut, I already had that love and that appreciation of Disney of what it was, but my appreciation changed even more based off of that. Just kind of listening to your stories and kind of taking back in retrospect kind of that trip with Finn, it's shocking to think, oh my God, all these things that I took for granted, and seeing his reaction for the first time really made the difference. Just bringing him alone on Figment out of the one ride.
There it is.
Yep.
we knew it was coming.
Just bringing him on that alone, I mean, that was something that I had planned pretty much from his birth, that, okay, this is one of the first rides. If I can get to Epcot, be in the first park, this is one of those first rides he's getting on. Now, again, that wasn't the first park we went to, all that stuff, but who cares? That's besides the point. But even to this day, even this morning, I was making myself a cup of coffee. He has a Figment stuffy that he literally came over to me with the stuffy and looked at me and said, Dada, Figgy, watch Figgy ride. To be able to get that core memory and have that be something that he remembers from Disney and relates to Disney alone, again, it melts my heart to say, to be honest, every time he says that to me, I'm like, okay, we did right. And again, the sacrifices and all that to make sure that could happen when he was a young child, to get him to experience that and to get him to understand Disney at that point, really made a difference. Again, we're trying to figure out our next trip for that, a little bit older. But again, that's just one memory alone that I get asked multiple times a day, watch Figment.
I think that's child abuse, actually, John.
I was going to say, note to self, I'm calling DSS.
It's a really cute moment, but really, you're setting your child up for PTSD.
I mean, hey, I don't push it. He's the one who pushes it on me. I'm like, all right, we can watch.
Sure. Yeah, John doesn't push Figment. Right.
Yeah, I love that you bring that memory home now, too. It's something that continues to build now that you're home as well. It's not just from the park, but it's now every day with you.
Yeah, it's true. And that's what it's about, right? Like travel in general, right? When we take vacations as families, we don't do it for just 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, right? It's to create those long lasting memories for the rest of your life. So
John Cook, I've got a question for you. In regards to, unexpected memories, did you ever expect that you would ride Space Mountain and laugh the whole trip?
So it's funny, that was on my list. And the only reason why I have it kind of buried is because I know you've already told the story, but absolutely one of my favorite unexpected memories is that Space Mountain will never be the same. Yeah, by far the best, one of the best ride experiences of my
I'll
life. I
let
mean,
you
we
tell the story because you probably do a better job of it since you were the guy laughing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I could tell the story perfectly because I was just laughing the whole time. But so Carl was behind me on Space Mountain, and he did warn us that, which anybody who's rode Space Mountain knows it's kind of rough on you. But he did warn me that it beats him up pretty good. But the sound effects coming from behind me the entire ride, the oh ah e ah oh my back my and I don't know why, but at the time it was by far the funniest thing ever. I mean, I could not stop laughing, probably for 10 minutes after the ride even. And I can't think of Carl or Space Mountain or any of that without thinking back on those times. It's just one of those unexpected memories that will never go away.
There's another unexpected memory from that exact trip and that exact day that we cannot talk about on the podcast that will always live with me. And I'm just going to throw this out there. We recently did a drinking tour, and some of our listeners and fellow MVPs came out with us and drank around the monorail, drank around the monorail circuit with us, and they got to hear that story. Right. So all I'm going to say is, for whatever you people are hearing here, just know that there are more stories to be told if you ever want to meet up with us in person. But this one specifically has to do with Carl being in his natural element that I think was a really proud moment for about 20 of us, truthfully. And that's all I can say about it. But, for the MVPs listening, I'm sure you agree with me on that. For everybody else, you're going to have to come party with us to hear the story.
Yeah, the next junket, come on in and
Yeah.
we'll create our own memories, right? We certainly did did a few recently when we were drinking in circles that night. We created a it's really fun to get. I think that creates memories too, is sometimes when you get we do these retreats with the MVP. So you got peers and you got people there who are all fanatics. But they bring other people to the table. Maybe their spouse comes with them who's a new element and it's new for them, right? Or in drinking in circles, we had a few fans and other people who've been on the show. So it was a mix, kind of an eclectic mix of people all sharing their ideas and everything. And when you're enthusiastic and having a good time and a few drinks, you're going to create more memories together too, right? You're going to create more things that are unexpectedly going to be funny or get a laugh or you're going to try something new. That's certainly the case. So, anyone else got some memories that they can share that were unexpected that we don't have to talk in code about?
Yeah, so one I'm going to mention that, I mean, we've briefly mentioned it before here on the podcast, just the how myself, Ryan and Carl, how we came together out of nothing. I mean, that was a retreat. That was a trip to Universal that actually triggered that, of all things. I mean, it's unexpected memory, but I mean, just that relationship in this podcast came out of a trip with Disney and everything else alone. I mean, I hate to say, but I never saw myself doing a podcast with these two other guys daily and daily, daily. I mean, it's shocking that happens, but that's one big one, I think, that a lot of people might have thought of.
I mean, I've told the story 100 times. I thought I was going to hate Carl until that
Yeah,
retreat. So
true.
that, how did that turn out, right? That turned out pretty well.
I was going to say, John, I never thought I'd do a podcast with somebody as foul-mouthed as you were that first night.
Again, we can't tell that on this show, but any further than we already have. I got another fun one, which was my wife and I, and I don't know if I've told this on the show or not, but my wife and I, on our 5-year anniversary, we were actually going to go on a cruise out of Port Canaveral. So, being the Disney junkie that I am, I scheduled an extra day on the front end of it to go drink around the world at Epcot. Problem is it was mid-July in Orlando. So if we caught one of those days where it was like 98 degrees with like 180% humidity, and we literally walked in through the World Showcase through the gateway, and went to France, and we got our Grand Marnier slushies to start because we were starting in France, and that was it. We didn't go anywhere else. It was too hot, so we literally sat in that pavilion all day and drank Grand Marnier slushies, which we didn't even get drunk because it was so hot outside. It was just like going in and sweating right out of us, right? We spent a lot of money. But I think my favorite unexpected moment from that was while we were sitting there, unbeknownst to me, because I'm not a soccer fan, France won the World Cup. So this was back when the French Pavilion still had all of its employees from France. And literally, I don't know what time it was, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever it was. All of a sudden, every employee from the France Pavilion comes streaming out of the pavilion with flags and soccer balls and like all sorts of crazy stuff. I'm like, what the hell is happening? And they were celebrating the World Cup. And it was almost like being in the streets of Paris. I had to imagine it was the closest thing I could be to being in the streets of Paris when something like that happened. Now, mind you, it was like, 48 people and not 48,000 people, right? But it was still such a cool experience. And I'm just sitting there with this Grand Marnier slushie, like, what the hell? Right. And once I felt so dumb because, French guys like, yeah, stupid American, right? I'm like, what are you guys all celebrating? And it's the biggest sporting event in the world, right? And I missed out on it, but super cool moment and definitely a story that I like to tell to this day.
Yeah, that's an awesome one. And again, I mean, sure, I guess if you tried hard, you can plan that with a 50% success rate, right? If you knew the game was going on and it was something you wanted, but most of us don't plan that. You obviously didn't. And that's exactly what my point was, is it's just so much fun to think back on those types of things. And it happens to all of us at times, the more we slow down and allow it to happen and see it instead of having that, bulletproof itinerary. We still should have an itinerary. We still should have a plan, but allow the rest of the day to happen too.
I think that's one of the reasons that you do plan. It's crazy. You plan to have some unplanned time on the vacation, right? We always talk about the value of a resort day. And there's things to do at your resort, but obviously there's no structure. You're going to go to the pool, you're going to eat when you want, you're going to grab a drink when you want, you're going to maybe do an activity poolside, whatever that is. But also, it's one of the reasons that I tell people you need there's certain parks you need 2 days at. The Magic Kingdom, if you have little kids, you need 2 days. You need a day to go around and do your must-dos. And then you need that other day to be more leisurely to make sure you're taking in the shows or the parades, or you're sitting down at a quiet courtyard at a takeout restaurant and watching people go by. Or seeing character interactions, there's other parts of that, that trip. And if you have that second day, you can afford to go at a lower pace. And with that slower pace, you're going to have some of these events kind of come out right before your eyes, right? Recently on this last trip, we took an MVP. I'm not going to call him out and who he was, but he had never been to an attraction in his whole lifetime at World Showcase. And we were with a group of people. It started to rain. We all started walking. I said, good, let's get us out of the rain for a half an hour, because it was starting to come down. And we all went into the show and he walked away from it like, wow, that's amazing. I'm going to bring my kids there. I never knew this existed. This is the same technology from 1982. Said, yeah, the show hasn't changed much. And so he just walked away with a different feeling of it. And he's saying, yeah, my kids are into this stuff now. I'm going to bring them to it, right? So again, that unexpected experience is not everybody studies up and watches the POVs of all the attraction all the time. I know John does. John can tell you where a vehicle is going to go left or right because he's seen it before he's ridden it, right? But a lot of people don't. They go especially people with their first time at Disney, they see a couple pictures or something and they've heard about Space Mountain, but they don't know of all the attractions. And when they go in, that unexpected memory for them can be, wow, I never knew this was a family park or that I would be having so much fun, right? I never knew I would. I thought this was for my kids and now I'm having fun, right? And that's the surprise or their aha moment they get.
Yep, absolutely.
I also think that he hadn't been on that attraction because it'll put you to sleep, Carl, but that's a different story. The Great American Adventure is such a great time.
Great show, it's a great nap.
Yeah, I was literally snoring next to John. Actually, last time we went in there. I was like, how bad was my snoring? He was like, eh, just a little bit, just a little bit.
I've heard worse.
Yeah, I've actually snored next to both Johns on attractions now. I fell asleep on Living with the Land with John Mackey. And
you've been a couple actually with me, not just Living with the Land. I think you've there's been a couple other two, but we'll have to figure that out.
The other one was
it was Carousel of Progress.
Carousel of Progress. Yeah, I'm old and I'm fat and I screwed up my lower back and we went to go sit down and I fell asleep in Carousel of Progress and then I couldn't get up. John had to help me out of my chair. It took me a while. And for those who have listened to the podcast for a while, that is also the famous day where John and I had like 3-foot-long chili cheese dogs by ourselves and cheeseburgers by ourselves. And that was a great trip. That was a great trip filled with unexpected memories in that trip, just because we didn't know what to expect on that trip. You know, that was our first time at Magic Kingdom since it reopened. So that was one of the low key, like really cool, fun parts about COVID. You know, I can't believe I just said there was something fun about COVID, but you know, we don't talk a lot about COVID on this show intentionally because it was just, you know, a small segment in the time frame of Disney. But this specific section of it reopening was kind of fun because it brought back the characters randomly showing up and parades randomly coming in as cavalcades and stuff. And that really added to this element of unexpected fun, you know, because you'd be walking and okay, it's not 3 o'clock and it's not 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever. It's like, whoa, where did this cavalcade come from? Right. And just totally caught you off guard. Or Winnie the Pooh chasing butterflies with his net outside of the Land Pavilion and Epcot, or, you know, number of things like that. And that was Disney for me as a kid, right? That was Disney for me as a kid. There weren't structured lines to meet Mickey. Mickey would just appear and you better get over there to meet him real fast. Otherwise you're going to miss him, you know? Mm-hmm. And I wish Disney would do more of that. And I think they do a good job of that in Disneyland. Really truthfully more than Disney World, but those unexpected memories for me are the best ones.
Yeah. And mentioning Disneyland, I mean, I've had them there, right? You know, I didn't, the first time I went there, I went alone. I tagged a day onto a business trip. And, you know, that whole experience to me was memorable because I was going through everything I'd known historically about the park and experiencing them for the first time. And I'll never forget. They must have looked at me like I was weird, but I was on Indiana Jones for the first time. I was so excited about it. And I got the seat with the steering wheel. And they'd put some younger kids next to me. So when we're going through the ride, I grab the steering wheel and I'm hamming it up. And these kids are looking at me like I'm driving the thing. And, you know, and I'm screaming and yelling and turning the wheel and everything and having a good time and getting into it and everything. And they, you know, they were laughing. And we got off the trip. We got off the ride. Their parents were at the other end or behind them. And one of the kids said, "Dad, did you see that crazy guy driving?"
I have a feeling you get that a lot in your life, Carl.
Yeah, probably. But but that whole thing, there was so much into that. Like you kind of anticipate what Walt's Park was originally like. And that whole day for me was full of different things that I wasn't expecting. Even though I thought I was an expert on the park and the history and everything, there was things that came up that I did not expect that would just kind of catch me, you know, off guard or in a moment. And again, that's what the parks were intended to be, right? To get you so immersed that You were experiencing different aspects of the park that not even the Imagineers had planned for you.
And I think that's the beauty of what you were saying earlier, Carl, about that second day at Magic Kingdom, is that you don't realize you're walking through a story. So when you're just go, 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 go through the rides, you miss the story and the elements of the story, you know? And when you take some time to sit back and relax, I mean, I've been going to Disney now my entire life. I'm almost 42 years old, and there are still things that I'm like, oh, wow, I never noticed that before, you know? There's not many these days, but there are things that still catch me off guard every once in a while. And it's, you just got to slow down and listen to it. All right, John, what, John Cook, what other stories you got for us?
Yeah. So, another one that came to mind, listening to Carl's first one actually was, our last trip we did, the Not So Scary Halloween Party. And I don't remember exactly how. I believe we gave my son the camera because he was sitting on my shoulders and we were trying to get him to get some content, some pictures from up above. And he's only just turned 5 at the time and never really used a camera before. So we should have known that would go well. And somehow he put that to video. And we have probably the best video you could ever imagine a kid in a parade for. Sometimes he would flip it back on a selfie mode because he's just pushing buttons on it as he goes. So there's close-ups of his face because, of course, they only film this. They don't realize the whole face. And then it flips back to the parade and you know, just his joy and his fun the whole time too. You know, obviously a funny memory, and that's, again, one that I can take home with me as well. We can watch that video whenever we want. And it's, you know, it's funny because it's just allowing the kid to try something new at a fun place like that and let him just open up and do something and seeing what it became. You know, it was a fun place to do it, and because it's our favorite place, obviously it holds a special place to us. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's a real fun one to think back on and look back on.
It's amazing too, right? Like I wouldn't consider myself like a strict father, but I'm not lenient either. But when I'm at Disney, I'm like, man, this is just go, man. Just do your thing, right? As long as you're not a little jerk to anybody, right? Like, just do your thing and let the kids loose. And that's where a lot of those memories come from too, is it's just like, you just give them the creativity and the freedom to just be themselves and have fun. And you're right. The things like that come back are hilarious. They're really hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun. I mean, you know, and just like you said, you're handing him $1,000 piece of equipment 8 feet up above, you know, or 6 feet, I'm not going to call, but anyway, you know, high up in the air where he could drop it at any time. And instead it was just, hey, have fun. Let's see what happens. And yeah, I mean, he loved it. He still talks about the parades and sitting on our shoulders and stuff and looking back on the video and how silly it is. He'll ask to watch the video sometimes. It's a lot of fun.
This is a podcast, John. You can make yourself 6'6". Nobody's going to know. It's okay.
That's true. Yeah.
I was telling these guys before the show, I had something blocking my screen. I said, my mom always told me I had a face for radio. So,
yep.
Thanks, mom.
I still know I do.
Any other memories that people want to share that were unexpected and now are ingrained into your personal memory catalog forever?
I got a good one. And I have video of it that I can share too, is this goes back to the whole Carl was talking earlier, you know, bring your kids even before they turn 3. You know, there's so many memories that get generated from that. And yeah, the kids might not remember it, but there's so many memories I have of my kids before they turn 3. Number one, they're free to go in the parks, right? So you don't have to pay for them. I've told the story a million times about my son meeting Winnie the Pooh. I don't know that I've told the story about my daughter and her first trip. We're Animal Kingdom, and you know, she, number one, we took her on the Frozen ride and she did the little 5 foot drop, scarred her for life, right? Totally scarred her for life. She won't go on any drops anymore. A phenomenal picture of her looking like she pooped her pants on that. But that's not what I'm talking about. We took her to Animal Kingdom and she's always loved animals, and we took her on the safari, you know, which if you haven't done with a little kid, it's super fun. It's the best way to do that attraction. And when we were going, there was giraffes, and there was a baby giraffe. And oh my God, she saw the baby giraffe, and it was like the most important thing ever in her life, you know. And here she is, 2 years old, you know, super cute. She's like, oh my God, baby giraffe. And she just keeps yelling, baby giraffe, baby giraffe. Like the baby giraffe's going to run up and eat from her palm, you know? And again, it's one of those moments that other people might listen and be like, all right, not a big deal, right? But for me, it's like that treasure moment that I have. And my wife and I've traveled a lot. And my wife and I always talk about that moment. And when I travel, sometimes I go back and I look through videos and stuff, like, you know, if I'm missing my kids, right? Just kind of give me a piece of home and ground me a little bit. And that's a go-to for me every time. Just that baby giraffe video. It just makes me smile and think of my daughter and happy moment that I get from, again, another unexpected treasure on a trip.
Absolutely. And, you know, I touching on the under three thing. So my very first trip to Disney World, my son was 6 months. And one of the biggest takeaways, aside from the fact that I got engaged on that trip, because I don't want to get in trouble for not saying that was a big takeaway. But one of the biggest takeaways was how much my son smiled. And, you know, a 6 month old kid, they cry throughout the day. It's just part of being a baby, you know. And I don't think he cried a half hour a day in Disney World. It was, you know, a spurt for a second, but even simple things like on the bus, you dread getting on the bus with a baby, but there's all these people around and they're so happy to see a baby. So they're smiling at him. So he's smiling back at them. And, you know, there's the pole there to grab to hold on to. And there's whatever souvenir he got or ears we put on him or whatever. I've never seen a baby so happy than watching my son in Disney World. And my girls were the same way at 8 months when they went. I mean, just had so much fun, barely cried, barely had a bad time. They won't remember it, but we always will remember those things. Super important.
It's amazing how the hat shops tend to be a huge play for kids, especially under three, right? It's like easy, simple fun, but they get to put on all these crazy hats and ears and whatever. Yep. It's super fun. I was going to say, though, I'm glad that you didn't have an unexpected memory on that trip with your wife and your engagement. That would have been an unexpected memory in the opposite direction.
Yeah, no, nothing bad that way.
John, you remind me of a story. My first trip, they were very young. And this second trip, we were planning to go back. And we told them a few months later, we're going back to Disney World. And my youngest got so excited, you know, and was jumping around and everything. And I go, why are you so excited to go back to Disney World? And she said, because it's not boring.
I mean, I'd probably be that way if I grew up with you too, Carl.
Right?
Yeah, Carl, I know your daughters fairly well. And I mean, yeah.
It's not boring. So there you go. So, and then
could that be a new slogan?
Disney World is not boring. Somebody call Bob Iger.
So now they were like, the second trip back, they were like, it was 5 years later. So now they're like, you know, 10 and 9 or something like that, right? Going back. And the first time, you know, the first time they were so young, they're grabbing and hugging all the characters, great pictures, interaction with all the characters, roaming freely and everything. The first morning we're there, we go to a character breakfast. And my oldest daughter, there's the character. So she runs up to give him a hug and is like, oh. So she had it when she was like 10 years old, right? When she was 10 years old, she thought she was going back to see Mickey and Minnie. And then at 10 years old, she realized, oh, wait a minute.
But yeah, John, kind of touching on what you said a few minutes ago too about the kids and how they change from what you expect. I was shocked with my guy. He's one who was very picky, very challenging, especially with nap time, and still can be to this day. When we were in the parks, he just crashed. Like he literally just crashed in his carriage. We're walking along, all of a sudden I hear a snoring child in the middle of a crowded area on Main Street USA, or just somewhere in Animal Kingdom. I looked at him like, are you kidding me? Anywhere else in the world, we would have had to go back to the hotel room, quiet room, all that fun stuff. But yet we're at Disney and you crash. You crash at the perfect time. Everything just lined up perfectly. I'm like, this makes no sense. This is it's the funniest thing what Disney does, especially with children, and how it caters to them and how it makes them feel just at home. It's just incredible.
And the unexpected memory there, John, is you head straight to a bar.
I wish.
No,
I
this is
wish.
John we're talking about. He's like, leave him. We're going to Figment.
I mean, I wish too, but
Kind of monitor stroller parking. He's probably.
I just want to know how you got a carriage with like horses, and that's what a carriage is, right? Like you got horses, and how did you get that into Disney? They have very strict rules on what you can bring in.
Miniature ponies are allowed. Remember,
Oh,
Ryan,
I got it.
miniature ponies.
It was at Port Orleans. It was at Port Orleans.
Well, there you have it, dude. Some great memories. John, thanks for coming and joining us this week with this great idea. We appreciate it. It was great to see you recently on our last trip. We probably have more memories from that trip that we can't share than we can. But
Yeah,
I think I'm still hungover.
but yeah, no, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it. Yeah, that trip was awesome. I can't wait for the next one already.
Well, thanks again, John. And until next time, later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media, on Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney, on Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney, on Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.